Where did you find out that?
I read the abstract.
It's implausible deniability.
My mistake. 1 second after I said that, Stella walked in. Morena, good morning.
Morena, Karen, how are you?
Not too bad. How's your week been?
Yeah, pretty busy actually, but not too bad.
Oh, I have a thing about trying to clean up the bedroom.
Yes, look, I don't even want to go there. You can barely see my floor, but that's...
I even took a picture of the bedside table to remind myself...
how bad it was?
Yeah, how bad it was, yeah.
Accountability. I like it.
Yeah, so you shouldn't worry, though, at your age.
Yeah, sure. It's in character.
Yeah, it's in character, that's right. So you're usually pretty tidy, are you?
No, not at all. But I'm trying so hard to be better.
Are you?
It's just not working. My natural inclination is clothes all over the floor. Sometimes I sleep under my clothes.
Just like a big pile on the bed,
kind of like a rat's nest.
Just you,
yeah,
tucked into the corner.
It's always clean.
Yeah, good.
I'm not dirty, I'm messy. That's my motto.
Well, hey, look, I'm really interested in what you're going to talk about this morning, and I'm going to think a lot of people will be, because we get so much information about it,
mm-hmm.
and how necessary it is,
yes.
in inverted commas, Botox.
Yeah, apparently I've on a skin kick, because last week I discussed sunburn, but after the, as you've said, the a millionth video on my For You page encouraging me to get baby Botox, which
what?
Is, baby Botox is the concept of, because I'm 24, obviously targeted advertising, baby Botox is saying, well, if you never even move your muscles in the first place, then you'll never even get wrinkles, which is just another way to say,
Is baby Botox a character?
No, it's, but that's a good idea. Marketing, take that for free.
It's called baby Botox.
It's called baby Botox. It's what all the people on TikTok are doing, all the influencers, et cetera, et cetera.
Ah, speechless.
Yeah, same. But that made me think about what Botox actually is, because I had no idea, and where it actually came from. So slightly concerningly, Botox comes from a really potent toxin that is produced by the bacterium Clostridium botulinum. That's also the bacteria that causes botulism, which you might have heard of before. It's infrequently foodborne, and it grows really well under low oxygen conditions. So PSA, if you're canning stuff at home and you're pickling things, which is really popular right now, be really careful and use recipes that have been tested really well, because if you're using the wrong amounts of things, like not enough vinegar, then you could give yourself botulism, which is bad. It's a really gnarly tummy bug, and it can be treated with antibiotics, but it can be fatal if it's left untreated, because it causes paralysis and trouble breathing, which brings us to how we came across Botox as an idea. So botulism was discovered, and then some people went, hey, they get paralyzed when they do that. How intriguing.
Right. Hey, just before you go on.
Yes.
This is completely left of center, but what are people pickling at the moment?
Oh, everything. Like, actually everything. Again, my For You page doesn't know me very well, because it's serving me up baby Botox and like culinary videos when I'm notoriously not into either of those things.
Yeah, it should be cleaning. It should be sending you little cleaning messages.
How to clean and
Marie Kondoing.
Gig tickets or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, people are pickling everything.
Okay.
It's really good for you. You should eat pickled stuff, but don't do yourself.
I just wondered what was in season for pickling.
Again, culinary prowess that I do not possess.
Anyway, that's off the beaten track. Where were we? We're talking about botulism that you can get from pickling if you don't do it properly.
Exactly. I did a roundabout one there.
Okay.
But that paralysis symptom was of interest to many different sectors for many different reasons. What I find interesting and worrying is the investigation of it potentially as a bioweapon, because as you can imagine, that's probably quite, well, it's paralyzing, so that's that. But in a less terrifying line of thought there, in 1978, there was an eye doctor, Alan Scott, who injected a patient with it after that patient had had retinal detachment surgery that had left his eye pulled to one side. And because the toxin paralyzes muscle, it kind of corrected that eye pull back into alignment, which was his hypothesis, and thankfully it worked. He has an interview where he says he doesn't know who was more nervous for that first injection, him or the patient, which seems fair enough. So Dr. Scott and then developed the toxin into a treatment for those with strabismus, a misalignment of the eyes. So that's a really tough condition, and it cured it, which is great. So the toxin itself is a neurotoxin, and it prevents the release of a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine. And it does that by gradually spreading over the nerve terminal where the neurotransmitter would be released. So Botox, or the toxin, is entering the neuron and preventing the things that carry the neurotransmitter from working. So just the messenger's not functioning. So this neurotransmitter that it inhibits is implicated in a lot of things, in memory, learning, attention, arousal, but most importantly for the Botox conversation, involuntary muscle movements. So this neurotransmitter's job is to make your face twitch, to make any part of your body twitch, move when you're not really thinking about it. So there are multiple types of the toxin. There are about 7 main ones, and they all differ in molecular size and biosynthesis and cell mechanisms. So type A out of these is the most potent and the most commonly used. Only types A and B are used to what we used for what we know as Botox. So Botox is generally made from type A. And for context on how poisonous it is, type A is a million times more toxic than cobra venom and far more toxic than cyanide. So the version we use in Botox of type A is very much diluted and purified. So it's not just that straight to the face, because that would be fatal.
If they went in too deep, you'd be dead.
Yes, well,
or even if they injected it, you.
No.
Normally.
No. I mean, it wouldn't be good for you, but right. I'm pretty sure you'd be okay. But a concern is black market Botox, because it is so expensive, et cetera, et cetera. If it's produced wrong, and the much like the pickling conversation, if you're not using the right recipe, then the level of that really fatal toxin could be far too high. So always go to a well-known and respected provider, I guess. But Botox actually has a lot of clinical uses. I feel like we know it from the cosmetic point of view. But like that eye example, it's also used for muscle spasms because it would obviously immobilize those involuntary movements. It's used for the treatment of migraines because of its ability to be taken up by nerves. If it's injected at pain fibers, then it interferes with that pain-associated neurotransmission.
Can I ask you how long it lasts, though?
About 3 to 4 months.
Oh, okay.
Maybe 6 at maximum.
So if you've got an issue like the problem with your eyes and migraines, it will wear off.
Yeah, and then the symptoms will likely return. Okay. But if you're having really chronic pain, then maybe that's some reprieve from it. Other things it helps with, urinary incontinence, because it stops that involuntary squeezing of the bladder wall.
What? How do you, you inject it into the bladder?
Pelvis, yeah.
Gee.
Yeah. Ow. And it can also help excessive sweating by blocking the nerve signaling of messaging about making a sweat gland active. So these are just some of the clinical applications, but I feel like, as I said, people know it more for its cosmetic reputation. Broadly, about 8 million Botox procedures were performed by plastic surgeons globally in 2023 alone. So that is an inconceivable amount of people to me. And the father of Botox, as he's known, Dr. Scott, that eye doctor from before, is very amused at this use because he only ever intended it to be clinical. He called it charming and frivolous, which is true, I guess.
Has he made any money out of it?
I don't know. He must have. He must have patented.
Charming and frivolous and a big paycheck.
And very rich. And he is, look.
So well, really, for most women and some men, mm-hmm. it's mostly women who...
That's where the targeting is going.
It plays on our vanity, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It's about... I was talking before about all the things that... what do they call them? Beauty therapist would be telling you about when they took your picture, and that would be nasolabial folds, which I've worked out what they are. Crow's feet, cobblestone chin.
Oh, right. How terrible.
Terrible. Bunny lines, they're the lines that if you scrunch up your nose, either side of your nose. Mm-hmm. So all of those things. But when you see somebody that's really, you know that they've had Botox, it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And shiny.
And shiny indeed. I'll get to that.
Oh, you're going shiny. Okay,
there's
great.
A lot of studies about the long-term effects, because obviously it only really came in the 80s. So we're seeing the long-term effects now. And the same with filler. I'm very interested in the filler conversation. That's a whole different kettle of fish. Filler freaks me out. But obviously,
sounds like something Sally's would do.
filler.
Right, with a massive great syringe.
Again, a reference to The Substance. It's all coming back to me. PSA, I don't care if you get filler. I just don't like needles, so that's why I'm not doing it. Obviously, but we know that Botox works by paralyzing that involuntary muscle movement. So it smooths the skin, it reduces wrinkles, and it makes you look ageless. Well, up for debate. It makes you smooth. In cosmetic like procedures.
Nicole Kidman.
But she's so gorgeous. Well, look, it's really hard.
No, she looks weird. What's wrong with your face?
But yeah, in cosmetic procedures, as we talked about before, in particular, Botox only lasts for about 3 to 4 months, at a maximum 6 months. We don't actually know precisely how the body clears it. One idea is that over time, your body breaks it down by the into the components of amino acids, and then it's excreted through your kidney, or maybe even used in other proteins, because proteins are made of amino acids. Then as that happens, as we said, the neurotransmitter responsible for muscle contractions, the levels of that, your body just adapts. It rises again. And then the nerves are back in business. So for cosmetic use, some studies have found that really prolonged and intense use of Botox can change facial expressions permanently, which I feel like we've all seen in celebrities. And I find it quite amusing in the business of acting, where your whole business is moving your face.
I'm moving my face around at the moment, trying to think what you're talking about. You mean like change it permanently, even when it wears off?
Yes.
The wrinkle isn't there.
Well, that, and also one researcher used the kind of apt analogy of abdominal muscles. So if you don't use them for 10 years, they're going to waste away. So if you're not using that muscle, it's not that you forget how to use your face. It's just that it's going to take a lot of kind of
Face training,
which again is a beauty concept that they're kind of touting right now, face training.
Yeah, make all those gurning type faces.
I've had enough.
Should we do it now?
I wish you could all see it. It's really good. But yeah, so facial expressions rely on muscles. So if you're not using them, the composition of your muscles will change, your ability to flex them, because it's like going to the gym, and your brain's patterns of use, they'll change. So what you're not thinking about, what's not in your conscious awareness. So related to this is some research that I came across recently, but it was published early last year regarding Botox and empathy, which I found quite interesting. So verbal language is obviously just one facet of how we communicate. We use body language and facial expressions to really convey what we mean. So there's some work with brain scans that show that people who have had Botox injections have altered brain activity when they look at happy and angry faces, possibly because of the paralysis of facial muscles, meaning that they can't mimic the expressions they see. Because if you look closely at an interaction, we're all kind of mimicking each other's facial expressions when we're talking about similar things. So if someone begins to crumple and cry, it would be weird of you to smile in that situation. So we're mimicking each other all the time. And that is empathy. So in other words, people with Botox might have altered abilities for empathy or feeling the feelings of others. So this isn't to do solely with Botox as a treatment. It's not like Botox, the compound, is entering the empathy centers that we know of. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's not what they said in the study. Anything that kind of alters or messes with our ability to read facial expressions will mess with our social cues. For example, a mask. Not saying don't wear masks, just saying it makes it hard to read someone's body language.
Difficult when two people have got Botox looking
at each other. Exactly. And that they kind of extrapolated. I mean, I read the original scientific study and then there were all sorts of hot takes about it, and people were talking about the callous nature of Hollywood and what that might mean for the rest of us, blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of extrapolation you can do there, but not necessarily scientific, more sociological.
What about the the argument, give beauty therapists a break here, because there will be people who work in the industry.
Yeah, no, fair cop. Do whatever you want.
If it makes you feel better about yourself.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. I just think it's interesting what we're kind of seeing as more and more generations use it. Because, as I say, it was only in 1978 that it was even invented. So who knows what's going on.
So we're over duck lips now, aren't we?
I think so, culturally. Yeah. It's certainly not a phrase in circulation that much anymore, but I feel like it still occurs.
So you're going to talk about filler? What was the filler thing you were going to mention?
So there are MRIs. Previously, we thought that the body broke filler down, which I don't understand that logic at all. But there are now MRIs from plastic surgeons coming out. Again, filler kind of wears off in the face. But now there are MRIs coming out where people who have had a lot of filler, it doesn't leave their face. It just migrates. So it's moving around in your face, which I find very disturbing. But this MRI is difficult to explain verbally, but I recommend
What's
you
What's an MRI?
It's just magnetic resonance imaging, which doesn't explain.
Oh, yes, of course, right. I got it, sorry, CT scan MRI.
Looking at the hard tissues and also the soft tissues. It's moving around in the face, and so you obviously have no control over where it moves, where it's going, and the MRIs are really spooky, and I'm freaked out by them. But again, do whatever you want with your face. If you feel good doing it, that's up to you. But I find it really interesting, first of all, that it comes from a toxin. How did we come up with that? I mean, I guess Dr. Scott did. Not a doctor.
I've got some texts for you here. And maybe it actually affects the brain too.
I mean, let's commission our own study for that.
And has anyone asked about pillow face?
Yes, that's the filler conversation. Pillow face is, the concept where the filler kind of moves around in your face and then uncontrollably, I guess.
What, you're lying on one side or whatever? What do you mean? Is that what you mean?
No, it's hard to explain. Pillow face is kind of like
lumpy.
Lumpy, or it moves to the front of your skin, so it changes the shape of your face, because filler is obviously intended to do that anyway. But when it wears off, quote marks, we have no control over where it goes.
And Botox, Donald Trump, ugh. Do you think he's got Botox?
Absolutely.
Do you?
Yeah.
Haven't looked that closely. My mum gets Botox in her neck every 3 months for a neurological thing I don't fully understand.
Yeah, so that will be, neurological, I assume that might be blocking pain receptors. I don't really know. But yes, many clinical uses.
So with baby Botox,
yes,
can you switch that particular ad stream off?
I hope so. I keep pressing not interested, but they really want me to get Botox. I'm very emotive as a person. My brow is almost always furrowed, so I think...
You're wrinkle-free.
Thank you, Karen.
Completely wrinkle-free.
Please tell the advertisers.
So what about your friends?
My friends?
Yeah, any of your friends go, I think I need Botox at your age group?
We have this conversation frequently.
Yeah.
It depends on how, I guess, vulnerable you're feeling at any given point, which is the danger. You'll be sitting around in the flat and someone will get the message, from the advertiser and be like, guys, maybe I do need Botox. And most of the time we go, no, you don't. Don't be ridiculous. But sometimes on a bad day we'll all go, I do too.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I know someone who is has a wonderful face, beautiful, and is convinced that it isn't.
Many such cases.
Yeah.
It's what they're all preying on.
So does get it and looks, I think, worse. not that I would say that. But
no.
But it's obvious that it's been done.
Yeah.
And I like the whole, I don't like that gap that you see with people with Botox. Where there's a space between their eyebrows because it's so flat.
Yeah, I think it's bizarre. It's kind of uncanny valley, but it's just, aging is a privilege. Aging is very much a privilege, in my opinion. So I think we should embrace it.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you're off to the gym now?
I am, because I'd like to age.
Yes. And you've chosen, what's the track you've chosen this morning?
Rally Arena by Jim Nothing, who's got his new album out just yesterday. And it's really wonderful.
Oh, nice. Thank you so much, Stella. Have a lovely day.
You too.
And we'll see you next week.
See ya.